Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Marcia Wygum. Marcia grew up in Jamaica, watching her mother struggle to provide for five kids on her own. And then one day, Marcia turned around and she was 30, and the same thing that had happened to her mother was happening to her. That's when she realized it was time to make a change.
Life was very challenging in many areas. You know, I have three kids back then, no support from daddy, one job, and I knew I wanted more. I knew I wanted to give them an opportunity that I never get, and that is like schooling, provide house for them, just a better quality of life that my one job could not provide. So there was an opportunity to come to the United States to work. And my friend who knew of someone who was recruiting people to come to the United States to work, she told me about that because, you know, we used to work together. And she saw how challenging it was for me and how I persevere. And she said, Marcia, this would be a good opportunity for you because I know you work hard. You know, you're serious about growing and all that. Let's check into this.
How old were you when you came?
Maybe 31. So when I come and I saw well, the difference and everything, the snow, the people, you know, different complexion, the lack of places to go for entertainment, I was able to adjust real quick because I was ready for this change. I was ready to embrace, you know, where I was going and what was lying ahead of me. I think the first thing that jumps out to me was the way people look in terms of their authenticity, their smiles. Most people weren't smiling as though I was. So I looked to see how long the smiles were lasting. And then I was like, wait a minute, is it going away so quickly? How could a smile go away so quickly? So I look at that and then I changed that by doing more of that for me. So I'll see people and I would talk with them more. I will laugh with them more, engage them more. I smile at them more. And then it seems to me that it goes away.
So in Jamaica, your experience was that smiles lasted longer? People were more genuine?
Yeah, people were more happy. People laughed. People socialize. People interact on purpose. You know, they'll ask you what you're doing. They have something to chat about. But here the people were more serious. They were, you know, if they don't know you, they don't really make eye contact. So I changed that. In order for me to really, you know, get my emotion going good, you know what I mean, real quick, I couldn't conform to the sad look. So I started to laugh more. I started to, you know, chat with people on purpose on the bus. You know, I was doing service jobs, so I'll engage them more. I'll ask them about things that, you know, make them want to engage. And that go away, as I said, that go away quickly, so...
When you came to the United States, where did you land? Where was your first community that you were in?
When I first came to the United States, we landed in Denver, and we had also overnight in Vail, because that's where the woman who was doing the recruited us. She was living in Vail, so we stopped in Vail that night.
And what were you recruited for?
To work in a fast food, a McDonald's. We came from Jamaica for that opportunity. So we stayed in Vail that night with that woman. And then somebody from McDonald's, one of the managers, picked us up from there. And I say us because it was another woman and I who traveled at that time. And we lived in Carbondale. We had a house at McDonald's and a house up there. So that's where we lived.
So how long did you stay there?
Maybe about 4 years or so. But, you know, during that time, we had us to do odd jobs because we just couldn't make it happen. There was not enough hours. There was, you know, all the things that they were promised you in terms of hours. It was so limited. And I knew I leave my kids back home with family members. So I had us to, you know, do other stuff, you know, clean house, dog sitting, you name it, braid. I do braids. So, you know, people see my braids and they'll get interested and I'll do that.
So you braid hair and that you did anything that you needed to do in order to make a living?
Yes, because my kids, you know, I always remember my goal. My goal is to, you know, better my life, better my kids, life, and I was to work and send money back home. So when we came, and you know, the McDonald's job was giving us enough hours, then that's when I pursue other ways of making a living, so I could send back money home for the kids to go to school and finish my house back there and all that.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Marcia Wygum. Marcia came from Jamaica when she was 30. What do you miss about Jamaica?
I miss the environment. I miss the beaches. I miss food, my family, places to go for different entertainments. The community, the socialization, people are more open to chat, to, you know, socialize, to just gather around and do stuff. You know, more people are outside more. People are, you know, the trees are out there, the fruit trees, the, you know, just the environment. It's the ambience.
And I've heard that from other immigrants, where in America, it's people aren't as accessible or don't seem to be as accessible as they sometimes find the people in their own countries. I've heard that from Latinos. People seem to be really busy and don't have time.
Yeah, people, oh gosh, yeah, it's awful. In Jamaica, you know, like in my community where you just pick me up, you know, people will be around. Not that they don't go to work, but, you know when your neighbor is not there. You know when the neighbor's kids, they're around. It's holiday right now. So kids will be all playing, you know, in the streets. Or they come over, you know, they come one block down the street and to play with each other. And they play in the streets. They play. They're just there. They're just having fun, you know. There's music playing. There's not all this quietness. And, you know, like, I never know when my neighbor is not there, you know. In Jamaica, you know, if somebody's going out of town, they'll say, hey, Marcia, I'm not going to be home for a couple of days. So, okay, I can give an eye. You know, they maybe have livestock over there. So you go over and you take care of the chickens, or you go water the vegetable garden. But here's more quiet.
Yeah, we're a little more reserved, aren't we, these days? I mean, the stories that you tell, I remember that's what my childhood was like. We played in the streets, and there's still that here, but I think people are more cautious now than they were when I was a young man, a little boy.
Yes, very cautious. No, even just having my kids there, no, playing outside, I have to be mindful about, are they safe out there? Because it feels like that's what society is saying. You're not safe, so you have to always be on the watch. You know, if you leave your kids outside, you know, it's you're not being a good parent, you know, because you're neglecting them. And I'm saying, but wait a minute, or are they going to learn that kind of self-sufficiency? Or are they going to feel like they can trust themselves? Yes. You know, are they going to build that kind of, you know, self-sufficiency? That, you know, I don't, that the parent doesn't have to watch over them all the time.
Tell me about your parents.
My parents are in Jamaica, but they're not married. My mother has five of us, or my father. My father has more kids, numerous, numerous, I'm not sure. Yeah, quite. I maybe roughly run it up with my dad. Maybe I have about 15 brothers and sisters, maybe on my father's side or so. My father just is a retired policeman. He was in the police force ever since, maybe before I was born. My mom, she does business at her house.
What was your relationship like with your dad?
What's my relationship like with my dad? Could have been better. Would I embrace, you know, what we have right now? But he was never there. So I was growing up with my stepfather. But I was able to, you know, visit him, my father, at times. And I think as a result of that, you know, that childhood part of it, we are not that really close. But we have a relationship. You know, if you can say that. But it could have been better.
Yeah.
Yes.
And your mother?
My relationship with mama is good. Of course, you know, mama after, you know, in Jamaica, it's mama, right? It's mama or mother or so. But mother has to bear all the weight, right? And when mothers bear all the weight, then the kids always feel like oh, you know, she's not fair. She's not, she don't love us or stuff like that because she has to bear the weight. Now that I'm a mother, I understand that, you know. But she was just doing, she was doing what she's supposed to do, being a mother, right?
Bearing the weight, you said.
Bear the weight.
Yeah.
What is that weight? That weight is not having the father around. The weight of providing. The weight of dealing with maybe all her regrets, all her struggles, you know? And I mean, that's, I think that's the weight because I've experienced that. But our relationship is good. And of course, what can you say good when you're all the way over here, right? So it all becomes a phone relationship now. And like, you know, if you were close by, we could make time to go see each other. But we talked on the phone. We talked yesterday. And or another conversation today as well.
So she provided for you. Did she get help from your father or was she on her own?
She was on her own. But then she did seek out the family court system that we have in Jamaica. And my father was a policeman, so it all worked out to where, you know, when they're not supporting the kids as they're supposed to, the government would take the money directly from their salary. And then we have to go through a family court system. So I get to know that system, you know, I mean, very well. Because we had also go to the family court, to, you know, on a monthly basis to go get that money. Which is not a good, thing to do. It's not a good place to be as a child because then it take away so much other part of you that you don't really care to want to know, you know, so early.
Yeah. It made you grow up quicker than you should have, huh?
I don't know if it's grow up quicker than should have because I don't know if that's possible. But you take on this responsibility of being aware of certain things that you don't even want to care about knowing. Right, like for example, I used to have to go to get the money and for us to go to school. For example, it's the first of the month. So now, you know, mother know that it's first of the month and the money's gonna be ready at that time. So we would have to go get that money, you know, go pick it up, you know, downtown Kingston. It was challenging.
Yeah.
Because we see her work so hard to support 5 kids. And he's, you know, she didn't really like have a formal education or so she always do business. But she was a dedicated woman who was, you know, set out to provide for us.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My guest today is Marcia Wygum, who is talking about her mother's struggle to raise 5 kids on her own. What did she have to do? What kind of work did she do to take care of you guys?
Food stuff. She worked with people, you know, the domestic work. She always have like a business going. So, you know, like any business you do, you have to put a lot of time in it. So we as the kids get to sometimes, you know, stay away from school because there's not enough money to go buy goods, you know, run the errands when you should really be going to school.
Going to school.
But there was no money. You know, there was time we would turn up to school and the school fee weren't paid. And the principal, I swear to God, the principal knew us, especially me. And you know when the school fee is late. And he will sometimes stop me and he said, you cannot come back to school until that, you know, school fee is paid. I was like, my mother doesn't have it. And, you know, my father is not giving us anything unless it's going through the family court system. You know, because he was not happy that she had us to take him through the family court system.
I'm sure he wasn't happy about that. Right. But that's all. That was her only resort, right? Was to try to get money somehow from him, and so
yes.
So you were the person that had to be sort of do that business for your family. Your mother relied on you to go to the court and pick up the money, and
yes, oftentimes, you know, there was other, you know, like it was three of us were living with her. We shared 5 for him. But 3 of us was living with her at that time, you know, and then she has. 3 other kids for her husband after she got married. So, you know, I did a lot of errands.
So your experience growing up and having to be in a way a parent or at least be more grown up than a lot of kids your age, is that one of the motivations that made you want to come to the United States and do something different? You started the interview by saying you wanted something better for your kids.
Yes. I just wanted was to change the pattern. I knew from a younger age, before I even started having kids myself, that I didn't want to walk that path. You know, having kids without, you know, the dad, you know, being there and the commitment and that love and nurture and that, you know, both parents working together to benefit and enhance the child's life. But I end up making choices that, you know, landed me in the same, maybe I can say the same situation. But just because I knew earlier, back then, before I have kids, that I didn't want this kind of lifestyle, it was easy for me that when I started to have kids of my own, I started to see the same pattern. It was quicker for me to start to realize, like, hey, you know, you started out in mind, you know, that you wanted to break this pattern, but here you doing the same thing right now. What are you going to do about it? So when I started to see, you know, get to number three kid, and I said, okay, no, this is not what I want. I know I didn't want this. So
you wanted a different life than your mother had, and had sort of vowed to yourself that you wouldn't create the same pattern, but then you found yourself with three children and wondering, wait, what's going on here? This isn't really what I had in mind.
Yes. And so I always knew I wanted more for them, because we've seen where, you know, we used to live in, you know, in people's place, you know, growing up, and it wasn't comfortable.
So you had to stay with other people? Is that what you mean?
I grew up with my grandma at one point, because when the struggles and everything get too hard for my mom, you know, her mother volunteered to help her with, you know, with some of us. It was five of us at the time for my dad. So, you know, I was living in the country with my grandma, and actually three of us was living in the country. Four of us was living in the country with my grandmother, which is my mother's mom. And then after that situation has changed for my mother, then, you know, I went back to live with her.
So you had three children and you decided that you were going to do something different. What did you do to change? Was that when you decided that you would come to the United States?
So I was always working back. I was a caregiver at a children's home for mentally and physically challenged children.
Wow.
And I really loved it. I was doing this from like I was 18. When I was 18, I volunteered. And when I leave school, maybe 21 or so, I started working with them. Because I've created, you know, I've developed this bond with the kids and the people at the nursing at the home. So I went back to work there for 10 years. So I actually resigned from that job and come when I get the opportunity to come to the United States. You know, even though I love the kids, I love, you know, the service to humanity and all that, I wanted, you know, more to create this opportunity for my kids. I took the opportunity when it came. My father helped me to buy my ticket and all that. So when I told him I get the opportunity to come to the States and, you know, needed like maybe $40,000 or something to buy a ticket, he loaned me the money. So, you know, and I have to, you know, tell him, I'm going to pay you back this money. And he trusted me. After, you know, proving to him that I'm going to get a job, it's going to work out. So when I get here and, you know, the hours weren't what I was expecting, and that's when I have to really press and seek extra jobs, right, so I could pay back that loan to my father.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My guest today is Marcia Wagum, who came from Jamaica when she was 30. So you came by yourself and then eventually sent for your kids.
Yes. My kids are in like 2 years.
That must have been really hard to be away from your children.
Huh? It was very challenging. There was time when I sit down and all I do is bawl. I cry. Because I couldn't mother over the phone. Now I'm relying on people to, you know, make sure they're fed. They go to school. There were times when they didn't go to school. Awful stuff. And there were times when, I'll use one phone card after the next just to try to get a conversation out with the people I'm entrusting back home to take care of them.
Who did they stay with?
Well, at first, I left them with my with their dad. But, you know, he took care of them for a number of years. But then after a time, it wasn't really working out. You know, sometimes they weren't going to school. Everything just changed. It was great. It was chaotic. So we had also make a different arrangement. So being an immigrant, it can be challenging, especially if, you know, you don't know who you are. You don't know what your purpose is. You don't know. You're not strong enough. You don't have your faith. You don't have that spiritual background. It can be very challenging. And I keep remembering my kids back home. There are times when I'll sit there and I cry. And I couldn't figure out what I'm doing. And I remember this one friend, you know, he said to me, "Marsha, you can't do this to yourself." I was like, "What?" I said, I want to take care of my kids. Like, you got to realize that you have to just take care of you right now. And you have to just trust the process over there that those kids are going to be safe. They're going to be okay until everything is changed. So it was challenging, but...
That's easy advice to give, but nobody could understand a mother who's distraught and really upset about the safety and the well-being of her children, especially when you came to the United States to give them a better life.
Right, opportunity. It was very challenging. But you know, it's go right back to, you know, my faith. And what is it I'm believing in? What is my foundation? And there, that's where I go back each time, you know, when it gets challenging, when it's get to the point where I can keep up with, you know, with all of that.
Who was the person who really guided you in your life?
At what stage of my life?
Your early days. Was it your mother?
We grew up with our mom.
Who inspired you? Because you sound like, I know that you have religion and that it mm-hmm. has helped power you, but you also have an attitude about life that probably came before you found religion.
My mother, she never gives up. She just keep working harder as the whole to make it happen. She would give us and do without. I remember this one day she had one dress. We would wash them at night. But she never go out dirty. She always clean, fresh and everything, in spite of the lack. So we would wash that one dress, underwear, bra, slip, whatever. And we put them on the line in the night. And then we go get them in the morning. She put them on clean. And she's on the road again with her. When she's out sometimes, I'm always maybe the one who take care of the smaller ones. You know, look after breakfast. She might leave us sometime at 5 in the morning. So she can go buy bananas and oranges from the market to go sell for the, you know, their business. And then I'll be the one to make breakfast, make lunch, take care of everything at home. And then take her breakfast or lunch or whatever in the morning, you know, afternoon. And then go help her. And then she might be, you know, sometimes I stay there and then she leave and go run out of errands and then come back. But I think that's where I get all that perseverance. And I always say, I want to change that. I want to be different. I want to break that cycle. Because I believe it's a cycle. And then when I started to see it happening to me, then I said, oh, wait. It's now the cycling is reaching me now. But one thing I've learned is that whenever there's a generational thing, because my mother had was to take her father to the family court system, and then my mother had was to take my father to the family court, right? And then when I see all of that before, you know, as a young girl, I said, I don't want that. I have to break that. So I think I've read in the Bible once where it said, you know, those things are like generational curse. But somebody got to break them. And whoever tried to break those kind of curse, it always become more challenging for that one person. So I set out to break that curse by doing, you know, everything, trying to do everything different. And then it was challenging.
Given what you've gone through to get here, do you feel like you've broken the cycle?
I think I have. I believe I have. Because now my kids now see, you know, that, hey, you know, you don't have to sit down in certain things. Where even if you fail at something, your failure doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to get there. It just means what kind of lesson you're going to learn from this situation you're going through right now.
Yeah, you've got to fail again and again in order to succeed.
Yeah, failure is not condemnation. failure is a lesson to learn. Because if I should tell you right now that there's a lot of stuff I set out to do this morning and it didn't work out.
Even with all the challenges that you faced, are you glad you came here?
I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm born. I'm glad I'm in this world. I'm glad I'm here for a time like this. When you look around and you see all this stuff happening to people, I'm glad I've had that experience. Because if I didn't have that experience, then I feel like, not saying you have to have the experience to get to this place, but because I've already had the experience and what I was created for, it makes it more easier for me to relate to people.
Do you see yourself going back to Jamaica someday?
Yes, I'm visited. I don't know, maybe retired. Retired with my house on the beach. Yes, my husband and I will talk about it, maybe later on when the kids grow up and everything. But who knows what God wants.
That was Marcia Weigum. Marcia is happily married and lives in Rifle with her children. You've been listening to the Immigrant Stories program. For more on immigrant stories, please go to our website, immigrantstories.net.